If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Samuel. And in 2 Samuel, we're coming to chapter 23, the last portion of this chapter. And it's going to speak of David's mighty men. And it's different. This type of a message is going to be pretty much verse by verse, looking at each man and the accomplishments they made, and then we'll comment on those accomplishments. And it's a little more difficult to put it together in a format of point one, point two, point three conclusion, because there are different things about each of those mighty men. Not all of his mighty men are listed, but these are the most those of the greatest notoriety, and those that had accomplished the greatest things. A lot of times we think that Joab would be one of David's mighty men. Joab was his nephew. He was also in charge of much of David's army, really from the time that David began to form an army, even when he was still fighting against Saul, and later on, when he had army, when he had united Israel. Joab was in leadership of that, but yet he's not referred to as one of his mighty men. Both of his brothers are, but Joab is not. And as he was preparing this, one of the Bible commentators said, well, perhaps it was because of Joab's character. And really, there is a lot to that statement. Remember, Joab murdered at least three men. He murdered them, and when you murder, it's premeditated, you plan it out, and there really was not any reason that these men should have been, he murdered Abner. He did that under false pretenses, pretending to have Abner come in to meet him and then killing him. And then he murdered Absalom. And he murdered Amnon, Absalom's brother. He murdered these three, and David had told him not to murder Absalom, but he did. And so his character was not godly character. And he's not listed amongst David's mighty men. And I believe this is probably the reason. Let's take a look at these. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Ezonite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. The first one that he talks about, he's going to list the three that were the greatest leaders amongst them. And you notice Joab's not going to be here. This man, the Tachmonite, and then also Adino the Ezonite, that's the same person. And this man was a man who fought against the Philistines. And he, in one of the battles, he alone had killed 800 men. This showed both his commitment to defending Israel, defending David, defending the Lord. And he is acknowledged as one of David's mighty men because of that. He was not turned back because of fear, but rather went forward to accomplish the task that had been set before him, and not only accomplished it, but even exceeded what was expected of him. And so David acknowledges that this is the number one of his mighty men. The second, and after him, was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there, gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. And we had studied that earlier, in the book of 2 Samuel. And the rest of many of the men of Israel had left and gone away and weren't there. And yet this man and two others stayed with David and fought against the Philistines, and they were victorious because the Lord was with them, and the cause was the Lord's. And so we see his loyalty not only to the Lord and to his cause, but to David as well. And he was willing to stay when others were willing to were turned away in fear and saw no reason to stay. And yet he stayed and fought the battle. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave onto the sword. In other words, word that he clave onto the sword in the description, it's almost like he had a cramp in his hand and he couldn't release the sword. He had to continue to hold it. He'd been fighting so long and so hard. And that was a show of his commitment and his willingness to fight to the end. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And what that means is this man and two other men and David sat and fought the Philistines. And they defeated the Philistines. Well, really, it was the Lord's victory, but they were the tools by which the Lord used. And then once they had defeated the Philistines, there's spoil of the battle. There's all these Philistines that are dead on the battlefield. They have various things, their armor, they have other things of value that are there. And so the spoils of the battle go to the conquerors. Well, all those that had fled in fear and saw no reason to stay, when this battle was won and there were no Philistines around with swords in their hands, they came back to gain the spoil. And so they came back to go through the battlefield and gain the spoils of the battle, take that which is of value off the Philistines. And but this man, that wasn't his goal. His goal is to be obedient to David and to defend the honor of the Lord. And so we see the difference between most of the Israelites and these three mighty men. After him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Herite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. Okay, so we have another battle with the Philistines, and it's in a lentil field. If you've ever eaten lentils, so this is, they grow in fields. It's an agricultural crop. And someone had planted lentil fields, and that is where the battle was. And all the people of Israel, the majority of them fled, but this gentleman, along with David, stood in the midst. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And so again we see the majority fled, the minority stayed, and God gave them the victory. This morning I talked about the fact that if you're going to be standing for the truth and the power of God's Spirit in the spiritual battles that we're engaged in, guess what? The number-wise, you're never probably going to be in the majority. You will always be in the minority. And those that are in the minority are a majority with God. And the victory is theirs not because we can fight better, talk better, speak better, convince greater, but because we're on the Lord's side and the Lord is with us and the Lord shall give us the victory. The Lord was with them in this battle. The Lord gave them the victory. It was the Lord's victory. And the minority stayed and fought for the Lord, with the Lord, and the Lord gave them the victory. And so this is something to be remembered as well. Number one, to never look at the odds that are against us, as the first man, where he had 800 men to fight, and he defeated them all. It seemed an impossible task, something that was surely to result in his death, but yet God gave him the victory. The second is to stand when others are turning back and afraid to go, and not be concerned about the spoils of the battle. If I win the battle, then I'm going to be able to say, look at what I've done, because I've got all these spoils. But rather be concerned about the principle of the battle, and that's defending the name of the Lord and defending God's people. And that's the second one. The third one is this one, that no matter what the odds, we're always in the majority with the Lord, but the minority is number-wise is what we'll be, but God is with us and God will give us the victory. And so we see that these are the three men that were the three greatest of David's mighty men. And he calls these the three. And the three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. Okay, now we don't know for sure if these three men are the same three that we just named, or if it's three additional men. But what had happened is the Philistines, they had gained control of Bethlehem, which is just south of Jerusalem, and they had control of that area. And as they had control of that area, you couldn't get in there because they had a garrison there. That's a large number of Philistine soldiers. They were also in a valley that was just to the south and west of that area. And then where the Philistine strongholds were, where their cities were over in what is today Gaza, and the towns that are by Gaza, like Ashdod and those cities that are not in Gaza today, but yet they were still part of the Philistine stronghold. So all of this was southwest of Jerusalem and Bethlehem. The Philistines had come up. They had gained control of Bethlehem and that area of the land of the Benjaminites and Judah. And it says here that they were there and people couldn't go in or out unless the Philistines would let them. And so if you were an Israelite soldier, you know they're not going to let you in. And verse 15, and David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And so David longed for the day that he could go to Bethlehem. And he remembers, even as a young man, because he would have lived not that far from Bethlehem in the country, and he would remember going to this gate and drinking of this well. And he says he longs to be able to go there. And he can't go there because the Philistines have control of it. Well, these three men hear David say that. Okay? And they hear David's word that he longed for that, that he could once again take a drink of that water. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew the water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went up in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. These men showed their courage, and they showed their valor, and they showed their willingness to put their lives on the line to honor their king. And they went in when others wouldn't go in because it would mean certain death if they were captured. And they got in, they got the water, and they got back out, and they brought it to David. Now, David's response was, David had understood what his statement had meant. These men took it very seriously, what David said, and they were going to honor his word. And so they went and got him the water. They brought him the water, and when he got the water, he said, "I'm not going to drink this." Now, you're going, "Well, why wouldn't you drink it? These men put their lives..." Well, that's the very reason he wouldn't drink it. He viewed his statement really as being foolish because they obeyed what his desire was. They had literally put their lives on the line, and their blood could have been shed for a cup of water. And instead, what he did is he took that water, and he said, "This water," he's pouring it out on the ground as a sacrifice unto the Lord. And he's saying, "These men did that, which I'm offering what they have done as a sacrifice to you, because their commitment, not only to me, but in committing themselves to me, they're committing themselves to you. And I need to honor them and honor you, not by drinking this water, but by offering it as a sacrifice because of these men's faithfulness." So the fourth thing I want you to see from the mighty men of David is they were faithful. They were faithful to their Lord, to David, to their king. And also they were faithful to God, even though it may have cost them personally something very, very precious, their own lives. But they were faithful. And they didn't turn away from the odds of the circumstances, but sought to honor their king. And so they were faithful in faithfulness. And verse 18, and Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had the name among three. Now, doesn't tell us which three, but he also had two brothers, Joab and his youngest brother who was killed by Abner in pursuing Abner. And I think it's interesting, again, Joab isn't listed as the head of the three. Joab was the oldest. Joab was the one that was given greater responsibility by David initially. And then this brother was given secondary responsibility in leading the troops of David. Yet we see this one is listed as the greatest of the three. Why? Because of his faithfulness, and in particular, one instance is given where he came against 300 and did not flee, but slew them and had the name among the three. Was he not most honorable of the three? Therefore, he was their captain, howbeit he attained not unto the first three. So he was the captain of the second three, but he didn't attain the position of the first three that were listed. Those were the mightiest men of David. Abishai was in the second group of three, and he was the leader amongst them. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of a snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. And so we see that these things did Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighty men. And so he was also amongst the second three mighty men. And he'd done these things. And if you look at the things that he did, they were done, again, not in his own strength, but through the power of God. And if you can imagine having a staff, basically a shepherd's staff. A shepherd's staff, a staff typically has a crook on the end of it, and it's a long rod with a crook on the end of it. That would be a staff. He had a staff. The Egyptian had a sword. But he took his staff and knocked the Egyptian's sword out of the Egyptian's hand. Even though the Egyptian, it says, was a goodly man, that means that he was a trained man, a soldier, someone who was able to use the weapon that he had. And yet he took the weapon out of his hands and defeated the Egyptian, killed the Egyptian with his own weapon when he had really no weapon at all in his hands but a staff. And he did these other acts as well. And he's honored for that and doing that. And again, it shows that he was fearless in the face of what should cause men to have great fear, and he was willing to move forward and do that which he had to do, even though the task seemed impossible to accomplish. This again shows that we are to be filled with courage, not fear, and we're to do what God places us in the position to do, and to do it. And so he is listed as in the second group of the mighty men, mighty three, the second three. Then let's go down to the verse 24, or verse 23. And he was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not the first three, and David set him over his guard. And so David gave him special honor, and then he set him over the guard that protected David personally. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Elhanah, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shammah, the Herodite, Elikai, the Herodite, Elias, the Palatite, Ira, the son of Ekesh, and the Tekoite, Abiezer, the Hethelite, and Mabanai, the Hashahathite, Solomon, the Ahohite, Maharai, the Nephathite, Eliab, the son of Bana, a Netophathite, Ittai, the son of Rabbi, out of Gibeah, the children of Benjamin, Benajah, the Pirathathite, and Hiddai, the of the brooks of Kaish, and Abi Alban, the Arbathite, Azmapheth, the Barhumite, Elhayaba, the Sheelbanite, of the sons of Jaish, Jonathan, Shama, the Herite, Ahariam, the son of Shariah, and the Herite, and Eliph, Telet, the son of Ahishibai, the son of Machahite, Eliam, the son of Amithiphel, the Gileadite, and Herzi, the Carmelite, Perei, the Arbite, Eagle, the son of Nathan of Zobah, Beni, the Gedite, Zelek, the Armonite, Nehariah, the Beriite, armor bearer of to Joab, the son of Zeruiah, Era, the Ithrite, Gerib, the Ithrite, and Uriah, the Hittite, 37 in all. So these are the mighty men of David. And all of these men had one thing in common. They sought to walk in obedience to David and ultimately to God, in spite of the odds against them and in spite of what would normally cause men to be filled with fear. These men were all courageous. Some had greater positions of leadership because their courage had been even exemplified greater than the others. But we see that they're all honored with their names because of their faithfulness to David, their courage in the face of certainly being defeated, yet they were not defeated, and their willingness to serve God because they were called. May we have the same type of courage, and may we understand that our names are written in heaven, and for our faithfulness we shall receive rewards. David gave out rewards for these men's faithfulness, and the Lord says that at the Bema Seat of Christ, we shall receive rewards for our faithfulness and for doing that which He's called us to do. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You just help us to understand about the mighty men of David. And Father, help us to look with great sorrow that some names weren't there. And Father, Joab's name isn't listed. His armor bearer is, but he's not. And Lord, we also see Uriah's name is there, the one that David sinned against, and yet he is listed. Someone who was a Hittite, not even an Israelite, and yet he loved You and served David, his king. Lord, now I pray that You would just to help us to be filled with courage and to do that which would honor and glorify Your name. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn to 390. I'm sorry, 590.